Welcome to Confessional. I'm Kayla Shelton, along with Mike Moran.
Tell us your deepest, your creepiest, your darkest. Confess to us. We won't tell.
So you can tell us anything. No one's listening.
Today's confession. What was the darkest, lowest, most depressing point in your life? Was it caused by a mental illness or an abusive family member? Was it a physical ailment or a bout of self-destruction? Was it of your own doing or someone else's or no one's at all? All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Confessional Podcast. I am Mike Moran, and of course, I am joined, as always, by my awesome co-host, Kayla Shelton. Say hi, Kayla.
Hi.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
It's rainy outside. I'm looking at it right now.
Been very dreary this month.
Yes.
Is it June all of a sudden?
I believe it's June.
When did that happen?
Couple days ago.
Would we be out of school by now if we were?
I want to say I think I got out around like June 18th.
Right.
Something okay. Like the teens, but I don't know because we had a lot of snow days and I don't know the snow days.
Right. Yeah.
Recently. Yeah.
It's weird how that just creeps up all of a sudden.
I know. Time.
New Year's just happened and now it's summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it'll be over. It'll be October.
Summer used to be a thing where it's like I looked forward to the thing that got me through it ending was my birthday. But
when's
now it's like I don't want another birthday.
When is your birthday?
September.
September.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When's your birthday?
February.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we have an amazing guest today.
We do.
Please welcome to the show, Miss Devine Kerr.
Hello.
And Devine has a podcast that she works on, and you have a TV show coming up.
Yes.
Or like a web show. Correct. Tell us about that.
It's going to be called Devine in a City. The first taping is going to be in June, end of June.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a monthly show.
Cool.
Based around a different theme each time with some guests interrupted by live music and performers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was going to be music.
Yeah.
Can my band play on it?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Send me your SoundCloud and all, but yeah.
Mike's just using this podcast to book his band now.
Yeah,
shameless plug.
Like everyone.
Well, what's she gonna say no while we're live on my podcast? Like, come on.
I could.
That's how I do it.
It's very intelligent.
I have faith in you, though.
So. You shouldn't. We're terrible. Anyway, this week's confessional subject is kind of a dark one, kind of a morbid one. We're discussing lowest points in life. Mm-hmm. So why don't we jump right in and read one from a listener. This is from Duncan Alonzo, Norfolk, Virginia. Lost my favorite uncle and skipped his funeral and charity benefit to go to Minnesota on a pre-scheduled vacation to visit my girlfriend for a week. We broke up on the third day I was there. Needless to say, the next few months were booze and Xanax-fueled days and nights of regret and self-loathing. Missing my uncle's funeral was one of the great regrets of my life, and really the only thing I would have done differently had I gotten a repeat on my life. So, yeah.
That's sad.
It is very sad. I talked to him, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty dark thing to have to face. Are you sure you want us to read this? Something? And he's like, you know what? I did it, and I'm trying to make things better. And so go ahead and read it, Mike.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I've missed all my family's funeral, but...
Well, they live like in Cockeysville, right?
I wasn't allowed to go. I mean, it's just...
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. There's some superstition that if you're under 18 years old, if you're exposed to like spirits and all, you reduce your chance on finding a husband, so...
It's all over the place.
That's why I couldn't.
Whoa. Superstition is all whoa. Over.
I've been in funerals under the age of 18. That's probably why I haven't found a husband yet.
Exactly. Wait. Is this a Cambodian tradition?
I'll never know if it's just my mom, Cambodian, or just things made up so that I wouldn't embarrass my family. So I don't know.
Sounds right.
I didn't dig into it.
So you're the opposite problem of Duncan. You weren't invited to the funerals.
I wasn't allowed to go.
Weird.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, were other kids who were under 18 allowed to go?
I wouldn't know. I wasn't there.
Right. Well, anyway, that's Jimmy Selesky, our awesome producer, chiming in. Say hi, Jimmy.
What's up, guys?
You guys ever had any experience with that otherwise, like funeral regrets? I regret not being... This kind of ties into my darkest point. I feel like when my grandmother kind of went through Alzheimer's and died, I wasn't really there all that much. Yeah. And I wish I would have been, you know. But I was able to be there a lot more once I got my stuff together for my grandfather on that side, and I got to spend a lot of time with him before he died, and that was really great.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's hard to be there for somebody with Alzheimer's because it's just like...
Have you had that in your life?
My grandmother is currently getting it really bad. Her mother, so my great-grandmother, had it for like 20 years, died when she was like 97.
20 years?
She couldn't remember. It was just insane.
Wow.
And now, it's hereditary, and now my grandmother has it. And what sucks is like she's almost 80. She could easily physically live another 10, 15, 20 years possibly. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to get like progressively worse.
Right.
And it's just difficult because it's like in a way they're kind of already dead, but not really. It's strange. It's like a weird dynamic.
Right.
For somebody with Alzheimer's because it's not them anymore. Like, yeah. When I have to explain to you who I am.
Right.
Every time. I mean, she's not so bad that she doesn't recognize me,
mm-hmm. right.
but that's how her mother got mm-hmm. after a mm-hmm. while.
It's sad. My question is, though, is the person suffering a lot, or are they okay? Like, I know it's hard for everybody around them.
I would imagine so. I mean, every day she wakes up trying to figure out why her son, my oldest uncle lives there to take care of her,
mm-hmm.
and like uses the car and stuff. And she like every day thinks like somebody stole the car. Right. This, that, the other thing. So she calls my dad like every day, like, I'm selling this house. I don't know why people are living in my house. Like, you guys are blah blah blah. It's just like, I would imagine. Yeah, she has to like write notes to herself to remind her like why she's at a place.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
she was at our house for a cookout, and we had to, you know. You're here for a cookout, like just right, so you don't like right. come to and be like, why the hell am I not in my house? Mm-hmm. I would imagine that's pretty mm-hmm. shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
We're living the same trauma, like in a cycle, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry to hear, man.
Yeah. It's all good, dude.
Yeah, I think the elderly gentleman that I take care of, Mr. Sullivan, I think has a little bit of that going on. But he seems okay, you know? Like, he forgets shit all the time. He does. He gets mad like that sometimes because he thinks like people are stealing from him or something. Like, but overall,
are you actually stealing from him?
Well, yeah.
And you're just like, it's your Alzheimer's,
that
old man.
I am stealing from him.
And for men, they're just being themselves, right?
That's true.
They're already dumb and angry. So
now you're just old.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I'm old. I can start accusing people of random things. And everybody's just like, he's just old.
Right. Right.
Or your like true personality can come out, and you're exactly. like, oh, it's fine. I'm old.
I'm not trying to get laid anymore. Fucking fuck you.
All right, well, let's move on to another one. This is from an anonymous listener who did not want to be named, from Dublin, Ireland. This one's a little long, but it's very interesting. It's been a tough 2 years of one solid bout of depression exacerbated by various happenings. Giving up an awesome job in a triple Oscar-winning company ended by a Facebook message. My grandmother's death, 2 minor surgeries, my best friend deciding I was a selfish piece of shit, parentheses, I was. Alcoholism, drug abuse, parentheses, prescription, antidepressants, and gaining a new, very stressful job. In March, we went to Washington, D.C. in the U.S.
Hey, that's guys. Around here.
and I avoided all activities, drank by myself, smoked weed, and abused my antidepressants. I was
that's
numb completely.
That's what you do in Washington.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're in D.C. What do you expect? When in D.C., abuse your Prozac prescription. I was numb completely. I was completely oblivious to how bad things were. I literally did not care. I got back into cutting my leg. I got back into cutting, and I did my leg so no one would see it, and I considered suicide. Then we went and stayed in this amazing cabin in Washington and drove. Oh, wait. You know what? This is Washington State, not D.C. Sorry.
No, it's nowhere near us.
And drove through Kurt Cobain's hometown. The whole area was...
Oh, wow.
just everything I ever wanted to be surrounded by, full on nature. The day of the incident, I sat for a good 9 to 10 hours listening to podcasts and watching otters, ducks, and hummingbirds. That night, my parent came back to the cabin, we drank, and I am patchy from there. One minute, I was at the lake Snapchatting, I'm sorry, over and over. Then I was in the bathroom with a razor blade. Then there was blood everywhere. Then I was under the cabin, and I was freaking out because I came to and couldn't stop the bleeding. Then my mom was shouting, and I was in the shower trying to hide, and my sister was vomiting from seeing what I had done. And all I can think now is just, I don't want to go back to Ireland. Washington was my heaven, and I didn't want to leave it. A lot has changed now. No drugs, no alcohol, doctor visits, psych visits, depression support group, great boyfriend, but it feels like I was attacked, like I didn't do it.
Well.
Yes.
Jeez.
That's
It's heavy.
Good thing they are on the right track now.
Yeah.
I'd
like to hear how he overcomes it daily, because I bet it's a daily battle.
It was a lady pronoun on that one.
It was a girl.
Yeah.
But how she, you know.
Right, right.
Because we hear a lot about what made them depressed, but I also want to hear about how they overcome it.
Sure,
and how
sure.
That's great.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was definitely like kind of part of my lowest moment was, you know, accepting that I needed serious help.
Right.
And, you know, not even really knowing what that help was necessarily, but just being like, I don't know what I'm doing and I need somebody mm-hmm. to tell me I got to try different things. I got to go to groups. I got to do something. Because that's the weird thing about, you know, when you're in a place like that, it's like everything is so confusing and messed up that it's like, and everybody's got an answer and a solution.
Well, especially when people just tell you to snap out of it and you're like, oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
You're depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, though. It's like when you're in that horrible space, it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to get better, you know. But there is just kind of like, for me, there was a moment of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know I need to do something. Like, this is not working.
Right.
You know. But
what's the appeal of cutting? I've never understood that. I remember in middle school when being emo was cool, people would like pretend to cut.
Because I think like having some kind of physical pain distracts from the emotional pain.
Mm.
And it's like something that they, I don't know.
That sounds
my
that's
sister
a very,
used to cut herself
really?
All the time.
It's a very emo explanation.
She is 17.
Isn't there a control thing to a little bit where you can manage your level of pain that you can tolerate so mm-hmm. that way you can feel in control of something? When everything is too overwhelming, then at least, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do something like that, but I used to just sit in the shower if I would get really stressed out or really sad and just crank it up to like boiling until my skin would get red.
Wow. Oh my God.
Because it didn't leave any marks, but it would like, it was that pain that I needed. But it didn't feel like that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. It just felt more like, you know, I was going into a super hot bath and cleansing myself.
I'm too much of a coward to do any of that stuff. I just eat and watch TV.
I mean, I don't know, when you're young.
Right.
I used to
do stuff
hormones,
like,
you don't know
like
what you're doing.
Bang myself on the head. And
same thing. It's the same thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I would hope that people come and rob my store.
Yeah.
What?
I had a gun on my head once. A guy came and
my God.
I worked at my parents' store. Mm-hmm. And I literally told him, like, please just shoot me. Like, that was
really?
My kind of depression. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is that your lowest point you were going to talk about, or is that
actually
a different
no.
one? No? No. Well, tell us about that real quick.
Well, that one, well, I mean, that I had, my parents had a convenience store, right?
Okay.
So I had to work there like 15 hours a week.
Right.
All day. And yeah, so he put a gun on my face. I mean, it happened many times. It was a gun. Another time it was a syringe, a contaminated syringe.
In Montreal?
In Montreal, yeah.
Wow. I thought there was
really
like no crime up there.
Well, yeah, but if you have a store, you'll still have people rob.
Right.
Like, you know, and it was in a main street with a massage parlor next door, like Russian happy endings. Anyways.
Nice. I don't understand.
The Russians are the ones who give the happy endings up there?
They gave happy endings.
Oh. I didn't know that was a Russian thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, I've been, they were like armed robbery that happened like pretty often. I mean, and then a potato knife and all, but every time it happened, I kept on telling the dude, like, just do it.
Really?
Yeah, because I was really down. Like, I was in.
When you were a teenager?
Yeah, like 16.
Were you like, I'm not giving you the money, just kill me?
Well, I said, I can give you the money, but you can kill me. And they were like, you're crazy, bitch. Like, I just want money. I don't want to go to jail. And so they end up running away because I'm like,
so
like
they
it's
did,
not
they
worth
didn't
it.
Get
like,
the score?
Well, one of them took money, but it was only $20 in the cash register. I never keep more than like a certain amount anyways.
I guess maybe that's really the way to go. If you get a gun pulled on you, just be like, I'm suicidal. You just kill me. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he was, they were all amateurs too. Like the guy with the potato knife was so nervous, he left some blood on my cash register.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they able to track him through that?
We didn't really. My camera sucked. And we just.
Why was he bleeding?
Because he cut himself with a potato knife he was holding.
Oh, my God.
That was
what
threatening
an amateur.
Me with. Well, I wasn't scared of that knife because my grandma used a bigger Japanese knife to cook, right? So to me, that was ridiculous.
Get your little tiny dick knife out of here.
I could take him out in a second, too. I had a baseball bat under and a panic button.
You're not compensating for anything, sir.
Yeah. Just flick it out of his hand.
Or just hold up a potato.
But so that's how I cope with my pain. But
all right. Well, do we want to go into your confession now?
Sure.
You want to talk about your lowest point that you're willing to talk about?
Well, it was in 2011. Mm-hmm. I was about 33 weeks pregnant with my my second baby. I had a 3-year-old toddler.
Okay.
Went to the beach. I felt like, you know, that Amazonian warrior mom, right? Like I had one toddler on my hip and my big belly and I was invincible. It was awesome. Came back the next day and I had a lump on my breast.
Oh, man.
And I said, okay, fuck, what is this? Went to the specialist and she booked me an OR the next day, super excited. And I was like grossed out by that. I'm like, why are you so happy? And she was like, wouldn't you rather have a doctor who's passionate about cutting?
She had no bedside manner.
You
landed a doctor who was
like,
super
cancer.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, yes, I'm gonna get to cut you tomorrow. You fast right now, and then 8 a.m. the next day, I'll cut you
She's
open.
Doing
and
like the cabbage patch.
She was excited, and she was wearing Birkenstock that she was bragging about washing on the top of her dish rack. Anyway, she told me.
Did you consider going to a different specialist?
Well, at that point, she already booked me, and it all happened so quick.
Right.
And yeah, and I was hormonal, pregnant, scared. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she cut me open, didn't find anything. But basically, like 8 surgeries later, while I was pregnant, and you know, and completely going under, so that means the baby also went under.
Wow.
And that was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That was a medical mystery, and they were talking about an inflammatory breast cancer.
Wait, the whole thing was like a mystery?
Well, kind of, because she couldn't run a full biopsy anyways because I was pregnant.
Yeah.
But they treated it like it was breast cancer. And it was just terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, my husband got laid off.
Oh, no.
So we were there with hospital bills.
Right.
A toddler that I couldn't hold because I was cut open and I had... anyways, it was just a medical nightmare.
Oh, damn. Wow.
I don't know why I summarized it. So I came too fast in my story. I didn't. I skipped so many details.
No, you're fine.
That's scary, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like when people have kids, like, it's just, like, I don't know how anybody does it. Like, it's just
Well,
impossible.
I really thought I was going to die and leave my husband with 2 kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was already thinking about the will and everything. And
wow. Well, are you all healthy now? Is it all gone?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, they said I can't get pregnant again because I have 90% chance that it comes back. Finally, they found out it was granulomatous mastitis, which is like super rare and it only affects Asian chicks for some reason.
Wow.
They don't know how why it happened, but they knew how to treat it with steroids in the end.
Wow.
Getting pregnant causes it to come back, I guess, because of the hormone levels?
I think so. Something in... They didn't know the exact like trigger, but but there's... my husband snipped anyways now, so it's fine.
Don't get pregnant. Just
yeah, we're done. My husband is all juice, no pulp now, so we're good.
Oh, okay. Good.
Nice.
Thank you for that image.
For all men to
TMI.
Be like that. It's my favorite.
Vasectomy rocks. Okay.
Well, were you planning on having more kids, or are you fine with that?
No, I think I was okay with 2 kids.
Right.
You know.
Okay. So it worked out then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It did. I'm like.
Now you don't have to think about it.
I really feel like I came too fast to the story because they were like different. I don't know. It must be the rain and the wetness that just made.
You would say you were lower at that point than when you were telling gunmen to pull the trigger?
Well, yeah, because I really thought I was going to die.
Mm, there's children
involved
now.
They were talking about like cancer. I had a 3-year-old I couldn't watch. Nobody helped. Nobody showed up. I had a lot of
friends. Really? Nobody helped?
No. Oh, yeah. And you know, I called one of my friends. Her mom passed away because of breast cancer. So I thought she would understand out of anyone. And when I called her and I told her and I said, you know, I'm scared. I don't want to die and leave my kids behind. And she said, well, you know what? Your kids are going to be fine if you die.
There you go.
Yeah, I stopped being friends with her since then because... I think from her standpoint, she wanted to show me that she survived, right? She's right. fine. But that's not what you want to hear when you think you're going to die.
No.
Like, well, if you die, your kids are going to be fine. I mean, she's supposed to say you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, it's just one day at a time and you'll figure out test after, you know, like,
yeah.
That wasn't helpful.
Supportive stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the surgery is there was one time I wasn't completely passed out and they cut me open on the
no
table.
Way.
But they were talking about their lunch meat and there was like, playing Hotel California while I was being cut open.
Whoa. They were talking about lunch meat. Were they like, yeah, this looks like ham. You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea for today.
Well, they were saying, like, do they still have the Subway melt at Subway? And the old guy was like, I don't know, man.
I mean, that's a serious question. It's lunch.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm there laying there
they're
with
cutting
my belly.
Your meat,
yeah,
and yeah, that's reminding them of Subway?
Yeah.
Yes. Bacon.
Is yes. that on Jared's list? Are we, is
I don't know, but it took me about a year and a half to recover and not get triggered every time I heard Hotel California on the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Well, the Eagles trigger me, but for
a different reason.
Yeah.
But
actually, I like that song. But
it was really low just because I was like, you know, just
right.
that's
yeah,
it. Yeah. I mean, also with the money threat.
Oh, yeah. Everything health related is $1 billion.
Yeah, and then my husband losing his job, and we had a kid, and it was just...
Just a perfect storm of...
And I lied to everybody, too. I didn't tell anyone that I thought I had cancer.
Really?
I didn't want to worry anybody.
I would.
So I'd be screaming at everyone in their face.
Well, when I did mention something, they didn't believe me either, so it was like
what?
A weird...
They thought you were. They thought you had Munchausen syndrome?
I don't know. Either they think I'm hypochondriac, but if I went the other way, then they'll say I'm too dramatic, so I just... It was just really dark. It was pretty lonely.
Devine, I think maybe you got to find a new friend group.
Well, yeah. I'm...
Let us be your friend, is
okay.
what I'm saying.
Aren't we already?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. We are now.
So nice.
Wow, I'm sorry you went through all that. I'm glad you made
yes,
it through.
It's a lot.
Yeah, well, the positive about that is that because my husband got laid off and then he got a severance packet, then we got to get a new house, and that's what triggered me to do comedy afterward.
You just started doing comedy then? I thought you'd been doing it
not
for like
yet.
Ever.
No.
It's no?
I'm on my third year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're doing really good for your third year.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in like my seventh year and I'm terrible.
That's not
compared
true,
to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys want to read another one?
Sure.
How many do you have?
We have 4 this week.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I thought we'd be like hard pressed to find some that
maybe people don't
want to
share about it.
That's what I thought.
I mean,
we have selective memory.
Everybody seemed to be okay with it. You know, I figured these were like more personal ones. All right, this is a quick one from Devin from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
9 through 16, I would torture myself and later a friend of mine so that we would get jumped for looking effeminate. That there would be nothing they could do to us that we hadn't done already, to the point where we both ate nightshade. Everyone is alive and well. We just got really sick off the nightshade.
So, I'm confused. What
yeah.
happened?
I talked to Devin about this, and he was totally fine. He kind of clarified. I think what he was saying was, you know, he was so afraid of just all the crap he would take for I guess you know not being a typical male that. They would torture themselves. Him and his friend would torture themselves to prepare for the pain that it was, so nobody could cause any worse pain.
Oh, here's a question.
Still confused, but okay.
That I have, and this might be like a total like bro solution, but
why don't you just play some football?
Well,
hook up with some chicks, man.
You're willing to go eat nightshade, which I don't even know what nightshade is, but I'm assuming it must be miserable.
Haven't you
I
watched
had to
ask.
Eating
The Christmas Story? They talk about nightshade and not Christmas
was it
Story.
Like poison?
The what's that stupid Jack Skeleton crap?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's a Nightmare Before Christmas. Don't they use nightshade?
Isn't it like a psycho?
She uses nightshade to like make him pass out or something. I think it like kills people.
How do people discover that stuff too? It's like people putting Tussin up their butts. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, we drank Tussin in high school.
We didn't
put it in our butts, though.
But, like, why?
We haven't lived.
Why wouldn't he just, like, work out or something? Like, if you're going to do all this other shit, why wouldn't you just, like, go to the gym?
Well,
and then
you
wouldn't be as effeminate.
Not everybody likes going to the gym.
Yeah, but
it's the worst.
You would rather eat nightshade? Like, if
eating
you were
is
just.
Fun.
If you were just like, if you were just sitting there like, oh man, I wish I wasn't getting picked on, that'd be one thing. Mm. But if you're willing to literally physically torture yourself, it would make more sense to go get some fucking gains or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
Are you really thinking rationally when
no,
you're
an
adolescent?
No, he could
like
get super jacked and huge and then dress effeminate and beat the shit out of anyone.
Exactly.
That's
it's like,
that's
dude, take the bull by the horns a little bit.
I don't
just
think
an
that's
excuse
how.
To beat people up. That's fun.
I don't think that's how depressed adolescent minds work all
it
the time.
Is.
When you're depressed, you're lost. You don't see any solution. It's dark everywhere.
Yeah, even right? Now, it's hard for me to just do the rational thing to deal with like my issues, you know, like. We did that all the time.
You know, depression is like wanting to die every day while your body wants to survive, right? It's like the clash between your
right,
mind and your...
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to always think about the solution. And even a vengeance plot takes effort when you're depressed.
I mean,
you know?
Even sometimes right. It takes years to realize you're depressed.
Yeah, there's that too.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, I have noticed a difference in over the years. And
right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, sorry. My God. I'm sorry
that man had to get...
Sorry.
we're not attacking you.
You sound like my dad.
I
you
just
know
come in
I,
and
look...
That totally makes sense.
Go to the gym, dude.
Didn't we all do, like, weird, nonsensical things to deal with our issues at that age, you know? Like,
well, it's like when I tell my dad I'm depressed or down, and he says, why don't you just meditate? And I'm like, geez, you know, I wish I could just do that.
Meditation is pretty solid. I mean, there's certain things that you do. Like, okay, if you're at the... like, think about it this way. If you go to the gym, or if you're meditating, at least you're doing something that isn't wallowing in your depression. So it like forces you. It's like the best part of going to the gym for most people is just the fact that you're for those hour and
the
a half
naked locker room conversation.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic.
You're just not eating. Like the best.
Really?
Yeah. Like you go to the gym for 2 hours.
Have they done studies on that? Like, you actually. Exercise doesn't do anything. You're just not eating at that
exercise
time.
Is a myth. I'm just saying, but like for most people, you could just go to the gym, and for those, even if you're just walking on a treadmill for 2 hours doing nothing, you're still like not being a lazy piece of shit.
Definitely.
So you're so it's gonna have a positive effect on you.
No, you're totally right that it's way better to do a positive thing.
Yeah,
But
when you're depressed, you just want to feed the depression.
So
that's the thing.
I
that's the problem.
And when you're
I
a
sit
fucking
in my bed
adolescent,
and
exactly.
And
you just
want
to feed it more. You put sad music to make it. You want to be more sad. You want to be more dark. You just go deeper. You want to listen to those lies in your head too. You want to.
I'm in a place where, like, the last 2 years, I don't really know. Like, I don't have anything to treat. To like, I don't have like an unhealthy way of treating my depression, and I kind of want one. Like, I just like, I don't know like what to do with it. You know,
you just do comedy.
You're like looking for advice.
Yeah, kind of like nothing too severe, but
just,
like
start being obsessed with like taxidermying things.
Ooh, like Norman Bates.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Are you obsessed with taxidermy for real?
No, but maybe I should be if Kayla's trying to
collect a bunch of like. Weird beavers and shit. That'd be weird.
You can make them have horns. It's super fun.
My neighbors in Canada like stuff their pet.
After they die?
Yeah.
Well,
stuff pets. Come up with a company.
That's
stuff
creepy.
Pets.
Yeah.
It's a little
stuffing
parrot.
Your pet? Okay. I thought it was like a dog. Parrot's different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Parrot's
is it legal
different.
To do it to a dog?
I think so.
Why?
It was in Joe Dirt, right? The movie?
Oh, would it be illegal to do that? It shouldn't be illegal to do that to a human.
Isn't
they're
it
dead.
Sacred?
Oh my God, that'd be so much fun if you could stuff
dogs.
Someone.
Well, they're your family. You can't just.
Who decides what's okay to beat stuff?
I don't know. I don't
dead.
Know.
I mean, you can't. You obviously can't stuff a human, right? Like that's against the rules. The Egyptians tried it with mummifying.
There's laws
that
if you
a lot of
did
trouble.
Go over, yeah. They got in a lot of trouble.
They had really bad PR
Wasn't
because
there
of that.
A guy who did that though? There was a guy who like was obsessed with this woman, and then she died, and then he got her from. Her grave and like stuffed her full of like cement
Ed Gein?
And different stuff. It wasn't Ed Gein. It was a guy who was obsessed with one woman in particular.
Oh, I never heard of that.
There are pictures
of her
on the internet. I can't
was she
remember.
Hot?
What?
Was she hot?
She's pretty hot.
Okay.
She was pretty hot.
So it wouldn't be okay if she was
hot. I don't blame him, but I forget what his name is. It was a long time ago. Let me.
Interesting.
It'll take me too long to search, but.
This probably
would have
been the time where I should have done that. You guys.
Jimmy's not only our producer, he's also our Wikipedia
guy. Well, while he's doing that, are you having Steve's baseball bat from Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah, you're referring to the what is that called? A spiked bat, I guess?
I didn't know how to call it.
But
that's awesome.
It's like the standard weapon of like post-apocalyptic punk rockers
right,
and 80s movies.
That's true. It is another movie. I'll need to make a Stranger Thing reference, but it was...
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't the pointy side supposed to be sticking out, like, of the nails?
How would you get it in? Glue them?
Yeah, but they should be pushed all the way through.
If you
right?
hit someone hard enough, that is going through someone.
Good
I like
point.
The glue idea, though.
Just glue it.
Oh, my God. I think I've seen those pictures before. Jimmy's pulling up the...
Is that her? Does she have a weird face? Yeah, that's her.
You think she's hot, Kayla?
She's pretty sexy.
Well, she was alive, but not that corpse.
Those lips. Those dead eyes.
So he was a doctor. His name was Carl Tanzler.
Okay.
I know I wasn't full of shit.
Carl Tanzler, he was her doctor.
That same doctor that cut open Naveen.
Yeah, pretty much. She died in 1931.
Okay.
And then after 2 years, he couldn't take it anymore. He dug her up and like tried to preserve her body or
after
something.
After 2 years.
I want someone
to love me like that. How do you get to that level?
Please don't encourage creeps.
God, people in the 30s were so fucking weird.
This isn't
I'm
weird.
I'm in my 30s. All right.
She looks so creepy in this
picture.
Yeah,
that's very creepy. That's what happened?
Well, she's not a real person. She's been dead forever and stuffed with shit and like plaster masked all over her face.
That'd be weird if it turned out that was like the life picture and the hot one was the dead one.
Or maybe like, well, in his defense, she did get way hotter when she died somehow.
Let's be honest. You know, I mean, you don't have like the same vices you have when you're alive once you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really easy to lose weight. And,
twinkle
you know, like,
in her eye.
You're not smoking anymore. All right. Well, Kayla, do you have a low point you want to talk about?
I would say the lowest point in my life, I was in my early 20s and I lived in Westminster, in downtown Westminster.
Oh my God, that is
like,
really low.
In like this awful crack house. Like it was one of these like houses that should have been condemned. Like
really?
Everything was falling in. Yeah, it was horrible.
I'm still pretty much living like that, but go ahead.
It was awful. Like we didn't, there was no privacy. It reeked of cigarettes everywhere.
Again, you're not hitting any points that are
awful.
Not my current.
But I just,
condition.
I was, it, nothing really happened. I mean, I just drank a lot. I had a promiscuous phase. And I did a lot of drugs and got arrested.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were arrested.
Yeah.
For what?
Kind of a badass. No. Okay. So the whole story is I basically got arrested for paraphernalia. Weed paraphernalia.
Oh, okay. What kind of paraphernalia were you talking
about? Crack. No, weed paraphernalia. It was just a couple bongs. And what happened was I had come home from the bar really early and told my girlfriends. I was like, you guys come home whenever. I'm leaving the Zorb and it's fine. I got to talk a bit more? Okay. So then I woke up a couple hours later to my friend jumping on my bed and was like, you have cops in your house. You have cops in your house. So I walked down the stairs. And there's like six cops everywhere. And I had there, my living room is filled with people. I know all these people, but filled with people that I work with, people at the bar at the time. And my boyfriend at the time and his best friend were covered in blood. And this other guy I worked with were covered in blood. And
Why?
I was like, what the fuck is happening? Had no time to ask. They went upstairs, found my bongs, took me out, took me to the police station and actually had a really good time in jail.
Really?
Like I was like crying and they were like, do you want a blanket? Do you want a pillow? Do you want, we have the TV. Do
it's
you
like Goodfellas.
They were really nice to me, but the whole time I was acting like I was in like Alcatraz. I was like, I don't get a phone call. Like I was in there for 6 hours. Like
oh,
it was nothing.
6 hours. Okay.
You know what I mean? It was nothing. But when I got out, I found out that one of the guys was taking pictures up my friend's skirt and my boyfriend and him took him outside and near beat the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
Cops were called. They're invited in my house. That's how I was arrested.
Wow.
So when I went to the judge was just like, it seems like you need to hang out with better people. I'm just going to give you a PBJ. I don't want to see you again.
You even got peanut butter and jellies in jail.
All peanut butter and jellies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagining you in a jail for 6 hours, kind of hot. I don't know why.
I was covered in pee and vomit and sexy.
Peanut butter.
I was super drunk.
And jelly.
It's great.
Were you wearing that little orange outfit? No. That's
no, I was wearing like a tank top and like these maroon scrubs. Because I was like asleep in bed, ready to like go to sleep and wake up.
Any cellmates or just alone?
No, just by myself. The cops had told me that... my boyfriend, his friend, and the guy that were punched were arrested, and they were further down the hall.
Did
they were like,
"Did
he's
you
not
hit
a good
your
bull
on the bars?"
No, I just sat and cried.
I would change like the
and I was like, I don't even know how to go to the bathroom. I can't go in front of you guys. And they were like, we can let you go to the bathroom. It's no big deal. But like, I acted like they treated me so bad. They really not.
We can change the
temperature. They like gave me breakfast too. They're like, do you want Dunkin' Donuts? Do you want anything to
what?
Eat? Yeah, they were.
That's awesome.
Is that what jail
does? That's why a lot of people want to go to jail when they're homeless.
But I was also like a drunk young white girl. So you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure it's different experiences for different people. Yeah.
No, everybody gets treated like that in jail. Yeah. What
it would have been
about?
Cool if you like folded some paper crane and then just like, you know, act all prison break on the change the temperature, start a riot. Like, I don't know.
You've already started digging the hole with the spoon.
Like freaking out.
Morgan Freeman has already started narrating your life.
You
suddenly.
Do like Morse code in the air vent, you know, see somebody like.
I'm like not
how'd you get a poster so quick?
Can you
but
put
that
this
was
in your
it for like my rough, I mean, my like down.
Right. That was your lowest point.
And it's not even, I guess, that low compared
well,
to some people.
Psychologically,
but
was it really horrible for you? Or was it just kind of your outside?
Crawling my way out, which I still am doing.
Sure.
That has been hard to get back like your self-confidence and your mental normalness.
Sure.
Like that's kind of difficult, I should say.
So you're
say.
Still a work in progress.
A little bit. I mean, I still didn't stop me smoking weed. So, but I'm not hanging out with the same people.
Right.
I don't do that kind of stuff. I still pick trash to date, obviously, but everything else is fine.
Was the skirt guy one of your friends, or was he just like
he
a
He was
random?
A cook at the where I worked. I used to work at a place called Ruby Tuesday. Everyone knows Ruby Tuesday. I used to work at Ruby Tuesday.
Ruby
I don't know if anyone's heard of it. He was
have a great
there.
Salad bar.
And we found his phone, because when he was getting the shit beat out of him, his phone knocked out of his pocket, and we found it. And he had some weird pictures, and it was... Well, I'm not friends with the girl whose picture it is, but it was really funny because she had her period, so you could see like the tampons
oh
during
my
the pictures.
God.
And we just, we thought it was funnier than anything, but we were also like 21 at the time.
You thought it was more funny.
How old was this dude?
Disturbing.
The thing is, the guy said he was like 25. He wasn't. He was like 32. He's dead now. His name was Silas, but he lied about his age. He was a creepy dude.
That's such a badass name too, Silas.
That is a cool name, actually.
Oh, he was such a creep.
How'd he die?
I think something in Baltimore. Either drug deal gone bad or something, because he got the shit beat out of him, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. And Did he get face charges for being a perv? Or is that even illegal? Like
to take pictures?
Yeah,
she,
I mean, like...
She did something with the phone because she had the proof.
Right.
And I know she had to go to a couple court hearings with him because she talked about it, but I don't really know what happened because of it. I don't really think anything happened.
Really?
My almost breast cancer sounds like a walk in the park in comparison.
Oh, God. No, it wasn't that bad.
Comparison to the tampon.
Everyone was really trashy in that. Sorry, downtown Westminster, but it's true. Everyone is in, like, is just trashy, and I don't know. It's just not a good place to be. Mm-hmm. And
sounds
it's like
depressing.
A cesspool, and everyone just kind of... And as soon as I left, because I moved to Annapolis, I was fine. I hung out with new people. I'm a different person now. And every so often, someone from, like, downtown Westminster will try to say something. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Fuck away. But other than that, we're good.
I like Johansson's.
Have
spot.
You ever been down under?
No.
Johansson's great. I used to work at Johansson's. Down under is like the club bar where everyone from McDaniel goes, and it's a shit show. Or it was when we went there. Yeah. One of my friends slipped on glass there and sliced her leg open and sued, got a lot of money, and they've completely changed
their glass policies.
Everything.
Everything's plastic.
Like
if there's broken glass on the floor,
I'm not going to say who, but a lot of people, like the bartenders would bring random girls to hook up with in the back, and they were married.
That's
like
awesome.
It was
famous
crazy.
Can't say who?
No, but I know he still works there, and I don't want to, if I'm sure he
and
listens
we are
to
hugely
this. I know everyone listens to us, but you never know.
No,
you never
you're
know.
Right. No, you're right. We should be like mindful.
But
of
it's just, it wasn't a good time.
Right.
It wasn't a. Mm-hmm. Nothing too bad happened. Like, it could have been worse, but and I had a lot of bad things happen because I was stupid and didn't pay attention to things and pretty low point, I guess.
Okay.
Fun.
Well, let's speaking of fun, let's read one from Redlands, California.
Nice.
Redlands, California. Our confessor is Kimberly Miller. When I was a senior in high school, my world seemed to turn upside down. I pretended to be a smart, responsible kid, but really I was blistering with resentment and self-loathing. I designed a website that was a pioneer in cyberbullying. I hurt people because I thought it made me funny and popular. Of course, the patriarchal school I went to caught me. Wait, I don't know what that word is. The something school I went to caught me and busted me on their ethics clause. I was suspended and almost expelled. My parents found out that the responsible kid thing was just a charade. I wanted to die. My world kind of spiraled out of control after that. I started drinking too much and cutting myself. I made a bunch of reckless decisions. It lasted a really long time, but eventually it got better. Really, though, I didn't grow up until I got knocked up, and suddenly my own baggage didn't matter so much. Well, that's a unique one in that she's like, I was the shitty person there, you know?
Right.
I think it's good if you can admit that you
absolutely
were a shitty person.
And I have been in my life, for sure.
I think everyone's done shitty things, mm-hmm. and especially mm-hmm. at low points in life.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone goes out thinking, like, I'm going to be a shithead. They just think, I'm selfish, and this is what I need. I don't care how it affects them. Or you are a shithead.
Well, it seems like...
If you don't know, that means you are, right? Yeah.
But there are times in life where you really didn't do anything wrong, and it still sucks. You know, like, there are times when it's really not your fault, but you just have to deal with it. You know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of what I've been going through the last, like, couple years or so. Although a little bit is my fault, but... But sometimes there are things that happen, and it's just like, well, this sucks. And then I never know, like, am I supposed to, like, get revenge, or am I supposed to, you know, like...
I've gotten revenge a lot. It doesn't seem to play out the way you want it.
Short term, it must feel good, though.
It feels great, but long term, it sucks, and it's not a good decision.
It's not good for your karma.
Yeah, what do you do when, like, somebody just, like, screws you over, and you know it's, like, not...
Mafia Don, you just screw him back twice.
Yeah, that's what I
horse
like.
Head in their
like, is it lazy
blanket?
Of me to not get
no,
some kind of revenge? Or
no,
like?
It's like it's mature and it's better to put kindness in the world than negativity.
But who the hell wants to?
I'm
watch
so glad
a movie?
You said that. I didn't want to be the Asian is all like Buddhist.
No,
like, and
I mean, it is true. It's so much fun to be negative, but it
well,
is
I'm glad you
better.
Said it first. And now I can just
if I may quote the Tao Te Ching.
I was always under the impression success is the best revenge. Like when you do good for yourself,
right?
That's like the best possible thing you can do to get back at someone.
Yeah, but a close second, I think, is peeing in the humidifier.
Oh yeah,
that's a pretty good one.
True,
too.
That's a good one. No, I think in those situations, you just gotta kind of trust the universe. Just just trust the fact that like I'm gonna keep being good, and this person's gonna keep being shitty. And even though in this very moment they're up. Eventually, shit's going to play out the way it's going to play out. And just, you just got to
Or even
them.
Just if you don't have them in your life anymore, it's not going to matter at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, if it's 10 years down the road,
sure. Yeah,
you
everything
still
doesn't
be like
matter
that
at some
guy
point.
10 years ago.
Like,
that's the best part of
real,
life.
Nothing, yeah.
That's the only good thing about the way time moves so quick now is like, all right. Yeah. I'm going to be like 50 before I even know it. So like, and then I'm not going to care about this
we'll
thing going on now.
Like when somebody like driving, I was driving the other day and somebody just like drove past me. I did something. It was not warranted. First of all, people's like anger is amped up like 11 fold when they're,
that's a weird,
you would never,
I get so mad.
You would never be like standing in a mall and somebody accidentally like cuts in front of you and just be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Fuck you. Like, but all of a sudden you get behind the wheel of a car and you're like, oh my God, now this makes sense. This is appropriate.
Right.
But, this woman just flips me off driving by. And I was so mad. I was driving up here about to do a podcast. I was like, I was having a good fucking day, lady. And she just flips me off. But like I was saying before, I just give them like the ooh, whatever, something like that, you know? Just to don't reciprocate it. But also understand that these people are fucking miserable. Like a person who does that is not a happy person.
Right. And I can attest to that. Like the times in my
You're
life
like,
when I was a jerk, I never want to go back to that.
Exactly. And so you want to be mad at them, but at the same time, it's like, no, like you, like I rest assured that you drive around in your daily life not liking yourself, and therefore you project it on other people.
Right.
And so in a way, I kind of pity you.
It's already shitty for them.
But I also want to like high beam
you. Don't have to do anything.
But
you know?
I think that is true most of the time. But there are some very successful, seemingly loving life people who are also assholes.
Who?
There's lots of famous celebrities
They're called
that are
winners.
Who is the most famous person that it probably is the key person of that? Our president right now?
Our president?
Sure.
James Brown didn't seem like a very nice guy.
Yeah. Michael Jordan doesn't
From what
seem
I
like
hear,
a very
people
nice
hate
guy.
Working with Marilyn Manson because he's.
I heard he was really nice, actually.
Marilyn Manson, I heard he was nice.
I heard
really?
He was very
yeah.
nice.
I've heard everybody
well, Roseanne
hates working
was a
with
bitch.
Him
she couldn't
local.
Even remember the name of her writers. She called them by number.
Wait, what?
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne.
She called him by number.
Yeah, she didn't even remember. She's like, yeah, who cares?
There's
she
just so many
him.
People
Tom
that are
Arnold.
Miserable
really
and
nice.
He's a nice guy,
but seem happy. I
right.
feel like,
and
or
then,
people
and
in power
say,
that are miserable,
right, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what they do.
But what about people that are just like super confident and like, but are still? I feel like there are some narcissistic like psychopaths
it's a
who
front.
Seem to be totally fine with themselves, no. but are just terrible.
They want
to
fuck their mom. They're not happy.
That's true. That's so true. When all else fails, they probably just want to fuck their mom.
Yeah,
that,
that's well,
it's not
let's
what
say
most
that
men
for
want.
The Freud episode.
Yeah, yeah, but like, they, yeah,
they say most men want to marry someone
or
like their
it's
mom.
Like as a percentage, just like it's not about if you're gay or not. It's like 3% gay. Like there's some everybody want to fuck their mom, like you say, but mm-hmm. those guys what? Like they're like 50%.
You know you do.
50% want to like you know it's just a higher. What am I saying?
No, you're right. You're dead on.
Well, there is like the phenomenon of like men want to date. Women that are like their mom and
well, exactly.
And
that's
women
why women
want
to
do
date.
The same thing.
I was gonna say, yeah,
like
there are certain traits
so
like
guys
my father
marry their mom,
that I
pretty much.
Look for in someone else,
right?
Like yeah. intelligence and.
Isn't that just natural? I mean, you're gonna like gravitate towards people like the people you grew up with, you
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
or opposite maybe if you had
your
a
first vagina,
yeah.
you know?
Your right. mom is like, yeah, your mom and your dad are like your main primary role models of like uh-huh. a man and a woman in life.
Right.
So you're gonna like look at them and be like, oh, that's what a woman's supposed to do.
Right.
You know, for the first right. like 12 years of your life, and then you get to middle school.
And then suddenly it's the opposite. You, yeah, you don't want anything yeah. to do. That's so weird how it's like you worship your parents and idolize them and want them to like you so much. And then all of a sudden it's like, I can't be seen near you for the next 10 years.
Yep.
All right. Well, Jimmy, did you have one you wanted to talk about?
You guys have such great low points. I don't have anything
oh,
that low.
I don't know. I didn't even think my low point was low enough. Like
I just
well, your low point was pretty low.
I just walk around in like a constant state of like low level, like just like anxiety and depression, I'd say. But I don't know if I could pinpoint an exact
well, when did
moment.
Your depression kick in?
When I started thinking I was a failure, probably like when I was like
when you met me when you started yeah. producing this podcast
probably okay when I got out of high school and I realized that I wasn't gonna like wrestle or do anything athletic, and then I went to college for 1 year and then I realized that I wasn't gonna do anything like collegiately mm-hmm. In terms of like I was studying to be like pre-med.
Really?
Just because it sounded dope to say it. Like, literally for no other reason, but, like, when I was at, like, a frat party, I could say to a girl, I'm studying to be pre-med. It just sounded better.
Wow.
It sounded good.
Wow. Are you talking about your low point while playing with your pocket knife?
yeah, it sounds like you went to school with Devine's.
I know. I was like, okay.
What were you going to say, Kayla?
No, nothing important. Just making fun.
Yeah, and then, so I got at, and I just kind of had to make a decision. I was like, okay, I guess... what I'm going to have to do in life is like pursue whatever, you know, you kind of make a decision. I know a lot of my friends didn't make that decision and they kind of have like a different kind of depression because a lot of my friends wanted to do like music and mm-hmm. comedy and different shit like that, but they
shit.
Didn't do it.
Right.
And instead now they work like 9-to-5 desk jobs and talk to me every weekend about how much they wish they did music or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Even though they, you know, because you, I think society kind of causes you to kind of, pigeonholes you into that depression because you're told all your life that that's what you want. You know, you're told all your life that like, oh no, you're going to be happy once you get married and have a 9-to-5 and a salary, and that's what you're taught in school and all mm-hmm. throughout. And then so many people my age finally get that, and then they're like, oh wait, but I'm still completely unfulfilled
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah.
And how do I tackle that? And then you start playing on fucking weird Baltimore softball teams and shit, trying to fill the void in your life.
Yeah.
But, oddly specific, but yeah.
That's true.
I was gonna say,
softball or kickball?
just general. In general for all the people on Baltimore social. But yeah, I would say that, yeah, they suffer from something. But then at the same time, I would say that I would suffer from the idea of like, shit, what if I never wind up being successful? And then they were right, and the people who went and like didn't pursue their passions can look at someone like me and be like, see, that's why you're supposed to just fucking get your 9-to-5. Mm. You know, so it's like I constantly want to like, I don't know. Just a constant low trough.
You're damned if you do. You're damned. You like you pursued your dreams.
Yeah.
And you're doing them. But then it's always like, but what about this other thing?
Yeah. And also, you would probably relate to this too. You never quite feel like you're like accomplished enough. So it's almost like you put yourself in this mindset of like working and working and working. And it's almost like no matter what accomplishments or what you reach, you always feel like you're supposed to do more.
Right.
And so it's really
another plateau.
Yeah, it's more of a mindset. It's like you can trace your progression and be like, well, I'm better now than I was 5 years ago, but I still feel equally shitty.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed a lot of young men feel like that as opposed to like a lot of young girls. Like a lot of guys. I mean, maybe it's different with my friends, but none of my friends like seem to have that kind of pressure. But men I feel like talk to are like, I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. I didn't think that I would live up to this. And oh my gosh. But a lot of girls that I know are just like, I'm having fun. My life
really?
Is great. I have
like a lot of
I live on my
it.
Own. Really?
I don't know. I think kind of, yeah. A lot of girls put a lot of front too.
I mean, maybe that's the case. But my friends are all like, you know, 9 to 5. They're happy with their life. And
right.
I would agree with
I mean, you. I'm the opposite where I feel like I'm a failure. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck have I been doing the last 10 years of my life? Hmm. And then another 10 years from now, am I going to feel the same fucking way and feel like I'm older even though I'm
right.
not? But I feel like I hear a lot of men feel like that.
Some people are content and there's the visionary. Most artists are visionary. Like they want to make a difference. They want. So that's why we don't feel content because we want to do more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then some people are fine doing 9 to 5 because they just they just want to.
I mean, maybe it is a front, you know? I don't know. Just
Well, Devine, maybe you can relate to this because you, like me, like we didn't turn 18 and start doing comedy.
Right.
Like we were already adults, kind of. And like for me, to go through my 20s not doing that stuff and wanting to.
What did you do in your 20s?
I just, I got sober and I tried to do what everybody wanted me to do. Like I went back to school,
okay.
I worked at restaurants. I mean, I wasn't making a lot of money, but I was taking care of myself and, going to school, and I had the right girlfriend. You know, I was doing like the AA stuff, and just kind of putting off my dreams. You know,
right.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like almost 30. I'm like, oh my God. But it was one of those things too, where it's like, well, I'm sober, so you know, I can like chill on everything else.
Right. But how do you even through like depression stuff? Because that I've been dealing with like long term depression where I don't have any passions.
Well,
I don't know what I mean? Like I have things that I like to do, but like
right.
you said, you found comedy.
Right.
You said you found
yeah.
things. I haven't
right.
found anything that
really?
I'm like, yep, this is fucking it. Like
right.
nothing,
right.
except for. I
but
mean,
it doesn't have
nothing.
To be it. It can be many things. I think there's also that extra pressure you have to, just like you have to find the one. You know, like back in the days, people just got married because they were in the same block and they were totally happy. And then we're from a generation of soulmate where you have to find somebody that also is fulfilling and giving you tantric sex and then tuning in with your soul and your mind and providing you mortgage payments. Like it's
where's that?
But I'm just saying that's why everybody's so dissatisfied, right?
Right.
But even with a passion, people expect like one.
Right. Not even one, but I don't even
but
have.
You can like many, like you like radio when you're great at.
I mean,
it.
Well, yeah,
honestly,
I hope this is
no. I mean, honestly,
right?
I would have never done this except
right.
for if you didn't ask me. Uh-huh. I would have never even thought
but,
about.
But most
this.
Things happen by accident, like that.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not like no right. offense. I'm not like super passionate,
right.
but I'm also not like oh my god, I hate this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
right.
but that's
closer
what it
to
is
oh my god
for
I hate
everything.
It.
Like
yeah.
I don't have anything.
I guess I'm
kind of
lucky like that.
Exactly.
It's actually very zen. It's like.
Yeah, some people are like that. Some people are just like, I'm just fine.
But I used
being
to be
alive.
Into stuff when I was a kid, and maybe.
What do you think the depression is like? Cut you off from enjoying?
I
that?
Think as much as a PSA this sounds, I think the weed. I
really?
Smoke a lot of weed, so I feel
agree.
Like it might be like
you're passionate about weed.
I do love it so much.
See?
I would love to work at a dispensary or something.
See, you got one,
but I think honestly that's it. Like it kind of didn't stop my drive, but kind of halted it. Where I still do the shit that I'm supposed to do. I still have a job. I live on my own. I have all the stuff on paper, but I'd rather like go to a museum and walk around real stone than
right.
like go and work more and go to the gym. Like,
well, does
stuff
it feel
like
good when you force yourself to work on things and then get the result
from it? Depends on what
it
is.
Right.
Like this, I like doing. But if it's like stuff that I have to do, no, I hate it.
Right.
I hate
right.
it so much.
Yeah. But even when you're done, it's not like, oh my God, that feels
no,
so good.
No, it's literally just like, ugh, when can I smoke again? And then I just go back to my cave.
Yeah. I guess we're kind of lucky.
Nothing
that we
feels that good. I mean, life sucks in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
even,
my
even when I
paint,
loves
music,
I have to clean
so maybe
my paint
I just
brushes
think
after.
Right.
Sucks.
No matter what you do, it's a. That, but what I was going to say is like, okay, it's true that no matter what I do, this depression follows me around and my happiness just kind of levels out. Like, there's little highs and then it kind of... But finding these things that I'm passionate about and putting in the work for them has been a massive weight off my shoulders. Like... Mm-hmm. Existentially, you know,
it's really the only thing you can do. You have to find some sense of purpose, because I think that's another thing that like gets me is like just walking around and being like, does any of this shit matter?
See, you know, for me, when I do the art, it's only meaningful when it touches someone. Once it connects with someone else. If you do art in your house, then it just becomes flea market painting or whatever.
Yeah,
no offense, but the minute somebody can relate to it. Right. Then there's a relationship, just like comedy, when the audience respond. Mm-hmm. When you play music and somebody tunes in and says, that's exactly how I felt, how did you know?
Right.
Even though you didn't write for that person, that's when everything makes sense. That's why you like to create. I mean, but otherwise, the thing alone, now, I think for me, it's really connectivity. Like the minute you connect, that's where
it feels better. Interesting. I don't know if I quite feel the same way, honestly. I mean, obviously, I like it when my stuff connects to people. But I almost feel like doing it for myself is the bulk of it. You know what I mean? Like putting in enough work and discomfort. I mean, doing anything for me is super uncomfortable, which is why I didn't do shit forever.
Right.
Like that's more like doing it and getting it the way I want it, you know, is like that's the reward for me. But yeah, of course, it's better if it gets more likes than if it gets
the
zero.
Instant therapy from doing painting because it's relaxing is great. But afterward... What makes it really like even greater is when it touched. Then it's like, I don't know.
Right.
That's what motivates you to do more.
I think you're both on the right. I was like, I feel what you're saying. I also feel what you're saying.
No, I'm right.
I also felt what you were saying about. I think
I don't really know what everyone's saying.
Not enough.
You're smoking too much weed.
Yeah. Not enough people talk about weed. Everybody, I feel like in middle school you're told weed is awful and never do it, and then in high school people are like, nah dude, it's fine, it's not even addictive. But like, weed definitely has some pretty shitty side effects in your everyday life if you do it constantly. And everybody's just like, oh no, it cures cancer and everything. It's like, no, weed, like when I smoke, it definitely takes away from my like what's the word I'm looking for? Ambition.
Productivity and stuff.
Just anything. It just like, it just, and it's not even necessarily just in the moment, like, but it's just like long term effects. Like, you smoke consistently, all of a sudden you just kind of wake up and you're like, oh man, I don't feel like doing anything. Blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Weed is like weed, like a garden, not to sound corny, but it's like one dandelion is pretty, but if it takes over your whole garden, then it sucks.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, good point. Moderation.
I mean, it's because it's great and you, of course, still can do things. Like, it's not, but you have to really go out of your, it's not like you're going to pass out and die from it. Like, but it does make you over time, like you'll wake up one day and you're like, it's, you know, 2018, June, and all the things I wanted to do, I have not done.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, you can do that. I mean, I did that without weed for years and years. I really kind of did that with positive things, honestly, because it's like, well, I got this going for me and that. It's okay if I... You know, it'll work out eventually, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but
you think it does and it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, doing shit, just doing stuff is like key for me. Because I get anxiety over everything. I can't do anything without like my first instinct being like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. At least with drinking and stuff, like, it has a really bad, like, if you're drinking every day or if you like come home from work and like do a shot or something like that, it's like I can understand like sipping on a beer or something like that, but like when people come home from work and like just do a bong rip or something, that's the equivalent of like going out on your back deck and like shotgunning a beer to me. It's like, dude, you're taking this way too fucking far. But it has a different connotation. People can literally get up and smoke and rip bongs and shit like that, and nobody says anything. But if you were doing that with booze, it's a problem. But like people...
We were talking about the other week. It's like weirdly it has this like spiritual quality attached to it.
Or
it's
no,
like,
dude, you're just fucking high. You didn't discover anything. You're high.
I think part of it is
I feel personally attacked right now.
I feel like part of it is that it like just looks so earthy, you know, and like so like.
Well,
you know,
for me,
like,
I have really bad anxiety, and I've been on anxiety medicine, and I don't like the way that I am, and I'm sure that I just haven't found the right one. But instead of me doing that, weed makes me feel cool and normal. Like right now, I'm pretty stoned, but you would not really know.
Yeah.
So it kind of keeps me level, right. but I'm trying to cut back where it's not like medicine. It's more like a fun time with my friends, mm-hmm. like it should be. Mm-hmm. And that's me working on me, I guess. So
I hear you.
I do think that weed somewhat has a negative quality. Mm-hmm. My sister is just starting to kind of smoke, and I'm, you know, I was a lot younger when I started, so I can't really say anything to her. It's hypocritical, but a part of me is like, if you keep doing this in 10 years, like,
right. Yeah.
You'll have a job. You might live in your own apartment, but it sucks because you just don't really have any kind of, I don't know.
I didn't mean to lash out against weed there.
I felt so attacked.
Because I smoke a lot.
I was going to say, there is something right there, so yeah. I don't understand.
This is brought to you by my
Let's Get High grinder.
That's very mature.
The dark mark left.
I can
here.
See the spirituality with that. It's very, yeah. All right, Tavine, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about or any thoughts you want to kick in before we wrap it up? Do you have
I
any?
Could, I don't know how much
you're
time
putting it right on the spot.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I do. She's the guest. That's what she gets.
I don't know. It's just a.
Do you want to talk about any more projects or shows or anything you have coming up?
Well, I'll be in Pittsburgh this weekend. I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing there?
Just two shows on the 8th and on the 9th.
Cool.
Yeah.
And just plug your upcoming show again.
It's called Devine in a City. It's going to be on Amazon TV and Roku.
Nice.
I'm not sure when it's going to be in the can, you know, but the taping is going to start in end of June.
That's great.
So I'm still deciding if I'm going to just tape them all and then send them all in one bulk or just feed it like monthly.
Right.
So
anyway, that sounds really
still
interesting.
Still finalizing. But
nice. Congratulations on
thank
that.
Thank you. Well, thank you for this podcast. This is
of
great.
Of course. Thank you so much
yeah,
for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Jimmy, you got anything you want to plug before we?
Yeah. Catch me at High Tops on Tuesday, June 5th, playing 9 to close.
Nice.
Tuesday night, that's the best night to do it, I guess, right? Whatever. And then Friday in Hamden, all the Hamden boys, I'm at the Avenue Kitchen and Bar. It's got a kitchen and a bar. It's in the title. 7 to 10, Friday. I'll be there.
All right. Kayla, you got any closing thoughts you want to? Have you done any more research on your serial killer, the Baltimore guy that ate people?
Oh,
that's what you need to be passionate about.
No, he just had a food truck, and he used to just murder people and then put them in a
yeah,
soup.
There's
like
what?
There's that's
like
it.
The most ridiculous serial
truck?
Killer was in Baltimore feeding
recently?
People.
Mm-hmm.
He just died. He was in jail.
Wait.
Oh, really? I thought it was like
feeding
the
90s. People with
the people that he killed. I think he killed like 8 people or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I think Kayla should write the book on him because nobody has.
It would be 4 lines, and that would be the end of it.
You got to do the research.
He was fat. He was gross. He ate people in his food truck.
No, you're going to go out in the field and you're going to interview
people.
That's worse
than the ice cream truck killer. Like,
who's the ice cream truck
from
killer?
Dexter?
From Dexter. Thank you.
Oh, I never saw it.
What?
The
first season is the best if you have
yeah,
to watch
yeah, the rest
it.
Sucks.
1 through 4.
I really like
when he
TV
starts
shows.
Wanting to fuck his sister, then that's not worth it anymore.
Yeah,
I like Breaking Bad, and that's pretty much
oh,
it.
Oh, that was great. That
there
was
have
great.
Been other shows that have come out that are good.
I know, and they don't interest me. People are always like, you have to watch it. And then I watch like 2 episodes, and I'm like, no. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much to Devine for driving all the way up here.
Thank you. That was a blast.
All right.
Especially this rain.
Dark, but fun.
Just
if I
like
say
me.
That.
All right, bye.